Joining us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is Steve King, the Browns' resident historian. And, Steve, we got you on to talk about the greatest value pickup, a vote for fans to participate in on the ClevelandBrowns.com website to choose the all-time greatest value player. This isn't the greatest pick per se, but based on production, overall selection, round, etc., who is the greatest value choice of the Browns? And you came up with some of the finalists, all the finalists really on this list, and I think it's an interesting one.
Well, you know, the draft really is all about value because a team is going to pick, you know, dependent on, you know, either trade or where they finished the previous year. You can't really do anything about that. What every team since the beginning of the draft, way back in 1936, has tried to do is maximize where they're at by getting a player that's comparable to where that pick is. Now, if you're drafting number one overall, you're expecting to get a guy who really is going to be the face of your franchise, and you expect him to, you know, make numerous Pro Bowls and, you know, maybe sometime down the road make it to the Hall of Fame. If you are picking at the end of the draft, your last round pick, you're hoping to get a guy, and, you know, the best case scenario you think would be to make the team. Now, if that final round pick ends up being a great player, it's just that much more value.
Yeah, and I'm sure this is a nice debate, too, for people to decide who has the most value. And some of the names on this list, the Hall of Famer, of course, Jim Brown, widely regarded the greatest player to not only play for the Browns, but for any team in the National Football League, a sixth overall choice in 1957. And then you go with a Brian Sipe. We know his outstanding career as a quarterback for the Browns, 13th round pick in 1972. A 17th-round pick, Ben Davis, the cornerback from Defiance, Ohio College, in 1967. And I love this one, Dick Ambrose, Bam Bam, the judge, now 12th-round pick in 1975. I think these are some really, really good candidates on this list.
Well, you know, I had a lot of fun picking the guys that, you know, from the lower parts of the draft that made it. I mean, everyone can, you know, see or can remember who was drafted in the first round or the second round, but it's just great to see a guy who, you know, ends up being, like you say, you know, Ben Davis, a 17th round draft pick in 1967, and he ends up being a great player. Now, there was a basketball player for the University of Akron who was drafted a round or two ahead of Ben Davis. So, you know, Ben Davis being picked to the 17th round, you know, pretty much of an afterthought, and he ended up his second season led the team in interception. So, you know, what a bonus that was.
Ernest Biner, a 10th round pick in 1984, all the contribution that he made at running back, and to think again that he came into this team as a 10th round pick when the draft used to be, again, a much longer process and deeper process than it is now, only 7 rounds now. But yeah, I think that speaks volumes about what these guys have overcome to be what they are.
And it shows, you know, every player that's coming in, it will be coming into the team here over the next week or so with the draft, that it doesn't matter where you're drafted per se. I mean, obviously a guy drafted at the top of the draft is going to get maybe more opportunities because more time and money and manpower was invested in scouting that player. But if you're a last round draft choice, if you're taken in the 7th round, you know, for that matter, Vic, if you're a rookie free agent, if you can play and you consistently show that, these teams have an eye for that. They're going to find a place for you. And, you know, Josh Cribbs, you know, you look at what he did, a rookie free agent. You look at some of the players that taken at the end of the round, you know, down through the years, you know, just great players. That greatness comes out. It's like the old adage you hear, cream rises to the top. And even if you're down there at the end of the draft, if you've got that cream, it's going to rise to the top. That will come forth at some point.
Yeah, and let's face it, the Browns have had a rich history of players who were not drafted and ended up in the Hall of Fame. I mean, right, guys like Frank Gatzke and Lou Groza and Marion Motley and Bill Willis. I mean, these are players that all, you know, granted coming into the league in the mid-40s, coming into pro football, but they weren't even drafted, and they ended up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So it does show you that you don't have to be a first-rounder by any means or a premium pick to have success.
And it really is. It talks, you know, volumes about, you know, just how good – your player procurement system is when not so much, you know, getting players at the top of the draft who make it, but getting value picks, getting those players at the bottom of the draft who make it. Because, you know, as any scout, as any personnel director, as any general manager, Mike Lombardi will tell you, you know, you really earn your worth, you really earn your paycheck when you're able to find a guy toward the end of the draft that comes and makes contributions. And, you know, if you live in a perfect world, maybe that is a guy that someday makes it into the Cleveland Browns legends.
And another point on this, even though the majority of these guys are those lower round players who have had great success to indicate value, there's value, again, in being a premier pick. So Jim Brown, sixth overall, but look what he became for this football team and what he became in this league. And Joe Thomas, the one current player on this list, was a third overall pick of the Browns and has become a fixture six-time Pro Bowler at offensive tackle. So if you're going to invest a premier pick in a player, they might as well have the careers that Jim Brown had and Joe Thomas is having so far.
Yes, and if you're pick, like you say, if you're picking at the top of the draft, you get a player like Jim Brown, you get a player like Joe Thomas, you have, you know, while it's a first round pick, you've gotten value for that pick because you've got a guy, you know, Jim Brown, in my humble opinion, Vic, the greatest football player of all time in any position, and I don't want to jinx him, but you know, six years in the league, six-time Pro Bowler. You know, we talk about the Browns having 16 Pro Bowlers. Unless something happens, Vic, Joe Thomas is going to be that 17th, Hall of Famer. Joe Thomas is going to be that 17th Hall of Famer at some point down the road. We hope it's a long time because we hope he plays a lot longer. But you get a Hall of Famer at number three, you get the greatest player in the game at number six, you're doing very well.
No doubt. Steve, we really appreciate this. We also want to encourage fans, go to clevelandbrowns.com and vote. It's the greatest value pickup driven by Liberty Ford, again, based on production and overall selection number. Who is the Browns' all-time greatest value pick? You have a chance to weigh in on this. Steve, we'll talk to you down the line.
Thank you very much, Vic.
All right. That is Steve King, the resident historian of the Browns, joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. And we've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.